Hi, this is Lawrence Krauss, and you're listening to the CA.
Science refutes God, and that's very important because you can't disprove a notion that's basically vague and unfalsifiable. There's no way to disprove the notion that God didn't create all of us 15 seconds ago with the memories of the amusing comments we heard before that. There's no way we can disprove that. Okay, that's really important to recognize that those kind of unfalsifiable notions are unfalsifiable, as I say. But we can ask, is it rational to expect that that's likely? And tonight I want to emphasize that 500 years of science have demonstrated that God, that vague notion, is not likely. It's irrational to believe in God.
Welcome to The Canadian Atheist, a podcast about news, current events, and commentary on all things atheism from a Canadian perspective. Now, if this podcast carries the explicit tag and wears it like a motherfucking badge of honor, so if you get offended, you might want to switch off. The CA records each week live from Apostasy Studios. Why not join in the discussion? Find us on Facebook, email us at theca@rogers.com, or follow us on the old Twitter machine at @the_CA_podcast. If we're amused or tweaked by your stuff, we just might even use it on the show. And now, here are Michael and Dean.
All right, here we go. Welcome to CA. Today is Friday, May 15th, 2020. I am Michael, and sadly, Dean is not able to be here. As we know, he's got young kids, yet they ruin everything. I was talking to Dean earlier, and I was trying to figure out he's got an 8-year-old and a 4-year-old. I'm a little selfish, but I'm like, dude, just kind of give him something to play with and come on over. But he wasn't into that, so sadly it'll just be me tonight. But to the rescue, our two friends that are here to join me tonight on the podcast. And so this will only be, I think this is only the third time we've had a multi-podcast appearance. So we had it with Dave Silverman. We've had it with other names escape me, which is really bad. I apologize. Anyway, so let's get into this. We've got tonight we've got Dr. Josh Bowen, and also Dr. Josh's main man. You'll know him from some of his blockbuster one-on-ones with people like Matt Powell. Perhaps the most vile piece of shit Christian ever in Ben the Baptist. Dr. Trent Doherty, and none other than G-Man himself. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Josh Bowen and Skylar Fiction, welcome to The Canadian Atheist.
Hey, what's up, my friend? Glad to be on here.
Yeah, good to be back, Michael.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I like when we list like notorious names of people I've spoken to, G-Man. Like rounds it out there.
Well, it's on audacity.
Yeah.
You know, it's where my beginnings came from. So I guess it's appropriate.
is it really?
Yeah. It is appropriate.
I had one interaction with G-Man on his channel. He was going on about something and I was chirping him in the chat and he sent me a link and I went in. And he was there and I think Veckel was there and Spoken, is that another guy?
Spoken, yeah.
That's another. He was there.
No more the crowd, yeah.
Who was super nice. He was super nice to talk to. But G-Man was himself, and you know, he took full advantage of the fact that I'm not a biologist, that I just play one on TV to you know, to kind of talk about all the things I didn't know, and yet he didn't know any better than I did. So, but it was fun. But so, guys, thanks so much for being here. So we got some stuff to do. We got a little bit of audio to get to. We have an interview with the President of the United States, Donald J. Trump, that we're going to share. And we also have one of our favorites, Rick Wiles, who never disappoints with the idiocy that he spouts. We're going to talk about some current events. Mostly what we're going to do is we're going to delve into Dr. Josh, we're going to delve into Skylar. I want to talk about them. I want to talk about their channels, the things that they do. I've been watching, I've been watching you, Skylar, now for a few years. And then when Dr. Josh kind of came onto the scene, started paying attention to him. So let's start there. How did you guys get together? And how were your wives with it all?
I'm trying to think how I think Josh, you wrote me an email.
Yeah. I think,
saying, hey, if you ever want, you know, I really enjoy the show or something.
I started watching, I don't remember why. It probably was a debate that you had on the Non Sequitur show. But I remember I started watching, and then I started watching all of your old videos. And I think the one that's stands out is Wolf Bitten. You had a two-part series with a guy named Wolf Bitten. And if any of the people on the podcast are listening and they want to get some, have some nice entertainment, go look up Skylar Fixture, Wolf Bitten. Be disappointed.
No,
you won't. I remember listening to you debate with certain people. I think you were talking to Sentinel Apologetics at one point. And they were he was talking about the Hebrew, and I thought, you know what? Let me just see if Skylar could ever use me, you know, what I know about Hebrew and the ancient Near East. So I emailed, and he took a chance on a guy like me.
did we talk about slavery? Was that our first video was talked about? It was like, well, let's talk about biblical slavery. It'd be so ironic if that was what it was.
I don't even remember.
The joke is we talk about it so much on our channel.
Well, yeah, but like, it's it a, might you know, be. It's a nice light topic. It's not at all controversial.
Sure.
And yeah. So, I got to ask one question. Dr. Josh, where the hell's my audiobook? Not to put you on the spot or anything.
No, not at all. So for everyone listening, he's referring to the slavery book that I wrote. Here's the honest truth. I got 5.5 hours of it recorded.
Okay.
And then played it for Skylar. And Skylar said, oh my God, man, you got to talk faster. You got to talk faster. Because I did. I read it because I wanted to articulate the words really well. And he was like, oh God. So then I tried to speed it up, you know, with the program. And that sounded like Alvin and the Chipmunks were reading it.
Nice.
So then I thought, well, this is, I got to redo the whole thing. So.
Well,
I tried to get him to do Ken Hovind. Is what I tried. I was like, why don't you just do the whole voice, like in Ken Hovind impression?
That would be fun.
That's what I'm really getting at.
That'd be fucking good.
After.
That would be so good.
It would. Could you imagine? Like, people would like buy just for that, just to hear Ken Hovind's voice or impersonation, I should say.
Although the bar has already been set high because, you know, Christmas is only 7 months away and you got to work on volume 2 of the Christmas songs. Right? So the bar is already there. So you got to be careful.
Well, the weather outside is frightful.
Exactly. Yes. For anyone who's listening that hasn't heard that, just go onto YouTube. It's on. Did you put it on YouTube? It's on YouTube.
It's on the channel.
So just look that up on YouTube. It is. It's fan fucking tastic.
You should be able to just type Ken Hovind like music album
or Christmas carols.
It's on. It's on my channel. You can go check it out. I mean, we literally uploaded a whole album that Josh wrote.
Oh, I know. Ken,
yeah. Christmas music, and I made a couple short videos to kind of play.
It's. So I mean, good.
Like we did. All I Want for Christmas Is You, which was not easy to do.
No.
Oh, so great.
He did Blue Christmas by Elf.
See, that would be easier because All I Want for Christmas Is You. You gotta have the pipes for that. Okay, so anyone who's not familiar with who I'm talking to tonight, climb out from under your rock and get onto YouTube. And in fact, you know, you can multitask. While you're listening to this, you can open up your computer. Well, if you're listening on your phone, you can open up your YouTube app. And you can look up Skylar Fiction, and you can look up Digital Hammurabi. You can subscribe to both of those. As Skylar Fiction says, make the world a better place.
Indeed.
And you'll have access to an absolute treasure trove, hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours, and hours of him having conversations, having debates, talking to people, and some people who are super nice and super cool, and some people who are absolutely vile. How you maintain your composure, Skylar, is beyond me. But it is epic. And on Dr. Josh's channel, he and his lovely wife, Megan. How is Megan doing, by the way?
She's doing well. She's due at the end of July, so.
Oof.
Ooh, I'm close.
That's getting close. They have a whole Bible series that they do. They're doing a Hebrew class in videos on Digital Hammurabi, so you can check that out. And yeah, multitask. Do it at the same time that you're listening to this. So Skylar and Dr. Josh are both agnostics. And yes, yes, that is a thing. It's okay, don't worry. But by the end of tonight, they'll be on the dark side. They'll be atheists. The last time that Dr. Josh was on, we heard his deconversion story, which was very compelling. But I don't know whether or not any of you, any of our listeners, have heard Skylar's. So that was one of the things that I wanted to do, Skylar. I wanted you to tell us your journey to, well, to neutrality and agnosticism, and then we'll drag you the rest of the way.
Yeah, so it started, I was raised in the Catholic family, and I probably stopped going to church really, really early. I don't know, by 12, definitely by the time I was a teenager, there was no Catholic church going on. They used to drag us out of bed every morning. I absolutely hated it. It didn't feel right to me. Never made any sense. Fast forward my teenage years, and my parents move into an area that's not so nice. It's weird because our neighborhood was super nice, but just outside of our neighborhood where the school that I was going to go to and the rest of that particular area was really, really rough. And I ended up getting in, kind of wanted to say like the Will Smith story, like a couple people getting in the neighborhood, things went bad. Okay, yeah. And things went bad. I got a lot of trouble. Okay. And I was getting in a lot of trouble. My life was not going in a good direction. And I ended up failing my senior year of high school because of a whole ordeal. It wasn't even because of grades. I was in this work program and whatever. Because I didn't pass one class, all these electives failed for me. So I had to go back another year and do all electives my second senior year. And everything was like falling apart in my life. Everything was like my friends were betraying me. Like it was just not a good time emotionally for me. And I remember when I went back to the next year of school, all I needed was electives, literally a half a semester of school, and I'd have all the high school credits I need. So I took 3 theater acting classes. I took a criminal justice class, a theater production class, and a music appreciation class, which I skipped the whole entire year.
I thought you were going to say like underwater firefighting or something.
Oh, I wish. No, back then, I mean, that cool stuff. So this theater teacher I had, which was 3 times a day, I was in this class.
Wow.
And she was one of the coolest people I ever met, but also evangelical Christian. And, you know, she starts kind of talking to me like a normal human being, like treating me like an adult and like getting me through some tough times in my life and turning these decisions I was making with wrong people and focusing more back towards school and started getting into theater and acting. And I met new friends who were into film and, you know, we were big film buffs in those days. But with that, she invited me to go to church. And it was like a big evangelical church in downtown Orlando. Listen, I have no ill will towards that church. That church was still actually, even being a mega church, was very cool about a lot of things. They were never big anti-gay with stuff. Like there were other churches trying to boycott gay days at Disney. They wouldn't participate in it. They just preached a positive message. That's all they were doing. Like, listen, we want to make your life better. We want you to live your life with Christ. You did praise and worship. Like, it wasn't a very negative atmosphere, was it? So it grew on me. Like, that's when, like, what I call evangelical Christianity kind of was introduced to me. And the actual idea of studying the Bible, reading it, understanding it. And then I got real serious with it. So then, like, I'm like, okay, I got, like, I'm into it. Like, I'm going to church now 3-4 days a week. Like, I'm going, you know, we have youth groups, you know, everything. Like, I'm there. It's my early 20s. And I slowly, funny enough, what changed, like, the way I thought about things. Because as I'm doing the Bible studies, I'm starting to read some of the atrocious things in the Bible. And I'm like, oh, okay. You know, like, maybe there's a reason, just like you hear from any other kind of Christian, right? Like, you know, there's always a good reason for why these things kind of happen. And I read this book by a new age. Hey, hold on 1 second, guys. Sorry if you guys didn't hear that. I apologize.
No worries.
My daughter's making noise. One day I pick up this like new age book called A Conversation with God by Neil Donald Walsh.
You right? found that in the fiction section, right?
Back then, I think it was, I don't know what, it was like a weird spiritual section they had in okay. Barnes & Noble, if I recall.
Spiritual. Okay, good.
Very spiritual. You know. But here's the thing. At the time, because, you know, you're thinking this is like almost 20 years ago, maybe a little less. Like this introduction book to a whole new philosophy on a way you could look at God blew my mind, right? Like, not that it was true. I don't believe it's true or anything like that, that this is like any more true than Christianity is. But there were concepts in it that it talked about that made me relook at how I believed in the Bible. And it was things like, you know, God doing terrible things to people. Like, it was like, why would a God that loves you ever do that to you? Like, this is bullshit, basically. And things along that. So I bought, you know, what it was is like the thing that kind of cracked the door to open up more ideas coming through. Right. And to get out of this hardcore Christian set of beliefs that I had basically been put into.
Okay.
And then basically just kind of became, as I studied more, looked into it more, loosened up over the years, stopped going to church, like a place where they were basically, I got more extreme for a while. I mean, I did go, I became a Pentecostal, and that was a very, you know, talking in tongues type church, very small. But once again, every church I went to, actually, the people were always really good people that
I
met.
How many rattlesnake bites?
No rattlesnakes, luckily. But luckily, God, man, that would have been creepy. They would have had rattlesnakes at the church. That might have been too much. That might have been back then. I might have been like, let's pull it back a little bit.
Okay, so just before, I'll pause there for just 1 second. The reason I brought that up, guys, is because about 3 minutes before I hit the record button, I had said that I had left Buttercup's enclosure open. And Skyler was just like, nope, full fucking stop, man. Nope. So that was why I had to toss in the rattlesnake thing. Because if you get freaked out over a fucking ball python, a rattlesnake's going to be like full on, nope, I'm done. Go ahead.
Dude, if a snake came in my house and I couldn't find him, I ain't sleeping that night. Like, it ain't going to happen. Like, there's no way that I'm going to live. Like, burn that fucking house down is what I'm saying.
That's like my wife. Because there's no way. She's like, yes. There's a spider. We have to move. I'm like, babe, it's okay.
We can same category. Like, really? Spiders, like snakes. Oh, yeah, just as bad to me. I don't know what's worse. I want to say the spider's worse to me, but it's a close. Like, they would be almost tied on my... I'm terrified. Anything else I could deal with.
Okay. But you live in like alligator country. I don't understand.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, alligators are big. Like, they're not, you know.
They can't hide under your bed.
They're actually, like, they're not as aggressive as what people think. They're not crocodiles. They're not like the crocodiles in Africa. The alligators are a lot dumber, smaller.
Okay.
I mean, if you're a kid, you just watch out. You don't walk near lakes if you're a child, because they will eat you. Yeah, no, it's, but you know, we have lizards and stuff. I'm not afraid of lizards. Lizards okay. are cool. They can come in. Yeah.
I don't have any lizards. There's no lizards up here. Okay, so sorry.
Yeah, I mean, the Bible told you to watch out for those things. I mean, this is the one thing. Yeah, this is the one thing true about.
Yeah. Okay, so Pentecostal church.
Yes. Sorry.
No, it's okay.
Yes. All right. So, you know, I went to that mega church. I started kind of moving in. I had a friend of mine that I was good friends with somewhere I worked. And he was like, hey, come to my church. And me and him just, okay, we were like best friends, dorky, studying the Bible, like after church in like restaurants. Like, it's all we did was talk about live the Bible. But, you know, things just changed. I actually became more agnostic on the issue. Like, I just said, I don't know. I don't know if there's a God. Maybe there is one. I kind of always left this like hint of like, there is a God, but I don't really can't define it at this point. It's too complicated. And I started doing YouTube. I was actually agnostic when I started doing YouTube. I actually became a deist. I had been listening to too much Alan Watts and probably smoking way too much weed at one point. And I just love Alan Watts. I still do. Like, the romantic part of me, like the romantic romanticism in me, or whatever you say, the romantic part of me that wants there to be some kind of spirituality or something more than what there is, irrationally, I think it's irrational, but at the same time, like, I like it appeals to me. But anyways, I got really into that, and then I kind of just said, you know what, I'm a deist. It also helped a lot when I was arguing with presuppositional apologetics with those people. Like, I definitely use that as a tool against them.
It's fucking brilliant, because you can just say, I believe in God, And it's funny because that's something, sorry to derail you there, but that's a,
oh, please.
It's something that in watching the discussions that you've had, the two of you have had, and comparing them to discussions that I've done, or if I go into downtown Toronto, like downtown Toronto has this little place called Yonge Dundas Square. It's like a poor man's Times Square. And, you know, because we're only 10% of the population, so you got to cut us some slack. Anyway, it's smaller. Mm-hmm. But there'll be this street preachers out there with the little tiny, you know, the little amplifiers and the megaphones, or they're just standing at a milk crate screaming at the top of their lungs. Not unlike Speaker's Corner in London. Anyway, I would have conversations with them. I'll tell my wife, I'm like, it's like, where are you going? I'm going downtown Toronto. She's like, oh, fuck. Okay. See you in 5 hours. So I would go off there to, you know, have the conversations and stuff like that. But I never had the advantage of being able to say that some of the things you said. And it is just and so I say envious because it just fucking lops them off the kneecaps. I'm a deist. I believe in God. Yeah. And I was like, well, fuck. And you can see it behind their eyes. You can see them saying, well, fuck, because they know they don't have anything to say.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it is, and it's brilliant. And I'm envious of that. So anyway, continue.
You know, when I had a conversation with the Bible thumping wingnut, like it played in perfectly with that. He even got frustrated. It was a rough conversation for him. I mean, at one point he's like, yeah, God does hate children. Like I got him to admit that at some point. I'm like, oh my gosh, dude. Like I can still this day remember after that call ended, like after a lot of times with the hangouts, like we end the call before, you know, it's awkward sometimes talking to guests after you've been fighting with them. So we end it and say goodbye, you know, before we go off air. But you know, that particular one, it was just me and him. It was way before Dr. Josh and I. We went off air. And I remember him being like, oh, God, I did so terrible. Like openly admitting it in front of like, dude, it's not so bad. Don't worry. He's like, no, I didn't do good. And I'm like, okay. I was like, at least it's honest of him. But anyways, where was that? Anyways, that's like, I use that deist thing. I still appreciate it. Like, I still have romantic beliefs with it that I wish were true. I don't know if it is, probably isn't. And I don't know. I just feel more comfortable now, like just being like, I don't know if there's a God. I think when it comes, I'm with you on the Christian religion. Like I'm happy to call myself an atheist in the sense of that. Sure. Like I do make the claim the Christian God does not exist, at least in the way that typical Christianity or fundamentalism, they articulate it, right? Okay. Because obviously Christians can view 1,000 different interpretations of the Bible and have their own kind of theology. But the typical fundamentalist view of it, it's incoherent to me. That's where I'm happy now being.
Cool. Okay, so, all right. So the next question I had for you is, so I'm out there, everybody knows Michael Stewart, everything is totally open. Like I'm an open book. My Facebook is totally open because some of your requests, they can look at all my shit. You know who I am. When we first started doing the podcast, I'd be on here spelling my name so people could look me up. I don't care. Like, whatever. Twitter is the only thing where I'm like, I only tweet as the podcast. If I go into YouTube, you know, it's Michael the Canadian Atheist, and I interact in that way. But you do not use your own name. Now, Matt Powell doxed you in the first sentence of his first conversation with you. He said your name. And then you're like, whoa, you know, don't do that. But, tell us about why you do not use your real name.
Well, there's a couple different reasons. Originally, I worked for, a company that I did not, want to endanger my job with.
Sure.
You know, I don't know if I'm pretty sure the values of the company are pretty liberal, but at the same time, I don't need, at one point I worked at a very public location where people could come and visit me if they so desired, if they figured out where I was. It wouldn't be that hard. The other part is I've gotten death threats from people, from the Black Hebrew Israelites threatening my children.
Really?
Threatening my family. Yeah, all types of death threats. Oh, I'm the stupid stuff that I get sent, bro. And I'm dumb enough to open sometimes. Like sometimes I'm like, all right, here's a link. Let me see
what's this white powder?
Where this adventure goes. I'll take precautions.
Right.
But I remember one time I opened a link and it was like to a photo bucket type thing, right?
Oh, okay.
But it was like hundreds of photos, but they were all like these weird religious tones, but with ultra violent imagery in them.
Okay.
It was very bizarre. I was like, okay, okay. I don't know where what you wanted me to take from this, but I watched it and I stepped away. But dude, yeah, for that kind of reason, that's the main thing. And you know, I just don't want people messing with my jobs, man. People crazy. And you see what happens on the internet. Yeah.
Yeah. It is interesting. Like I see the way I've addressed it is, no one that I interact with in a virtual online way has any clue what I do for a living. It's not attached to Facebook. Facebook thinks I'm self-employed, thinks I just manage the podcast. I don't put it out there anywhere. Anyone who knows me really well knows not to talk about what I do for a living. And that's how I separate. So I have that anonymity because I'm a sworn public servant. So, you know, so I have that same kind of thing where I don't want that kind of issue, but that's as far as I've ever gone. I'm a public servant and that's all anybody knows about me. So, Josh, what about you? Have you ever felt like, or is that why you're always so nice? So that people never want to come after you.
I mean, you know, when we first came on, you know, I studied for 15 years to become a professor. So, you know, there's no, you don't have any screen names.
Okay.
When you work at a university. So, everybody knows who Martha Roth is. Everybody knows who Paul Delnero is. Everybody knows, you know, who these professors are. And while they don't know their home address or anything, it's not like they couldn't narrow it down.
Sure.
So I thought, well, I mean, what difference it make? If they can do it, I can do it. And then, you know, starting to talk to Skylar got me kind of nervous. So thanks a lot for that, Skylar. I was like, oh, man, I guess I can't take any of this back. But no, I mean, we really aren't. I don't know. I don't find myself to be a terribly controversial figure.
No.
Oh, no.
And I going to say something.
Yeah, no, go ahead, Skylar.
No, I was going to say. So, like, what now I've realized, like, when I'm going to say something that's, like, a little bit more extreme, I make sure to, like, this does not represent Dr. Josh Bowen beforehand. I try to do a little better with that. But also, remember, we're in Skylar 2.0, the new software.
I was going to ask you about that.
Skylar Fiction.
I was going to ask you about that. You were completely – I don't know. And again, it speaks to a level of I don't know whether to call it maturity or composure. Maybe those are synonyms, or at least partially. Your capacity to deal with the absolute fuckwit that is G-Man is admirable, to say the least. Because I am genuinely, I shit everybody, I shit you not, I am genuinely concerned most times for his mental health capacity.
Sure.
Because I think there's something loose up there. But your ability to deal with him is laudable.
Well, so
I don't see it, Mike. I don't know what you mean. Sorry to, because you know, from his perspective, Skylar, you were enraged the entire debate. I mean, you were just so angry.
Yeah. So this is our first exposure to Josh's sarcasm.
Yeah, I didn't see it necessarily in the debate, but I probably wasn't paying close enough attention. No. But I mean, you were apparently just livid the entire time. He really got under your skin, Skylar.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, what I've realized with G-Man is two things. First, now he's just doing it for entertainment. He might have been genuine at some point before. It might have been something he really felt on his heart. It's not anymore.
Is that your objective subjective opinion?
Yes, that is my objective subjective opinion.
Jesus fuck.
Yeah, I do. And this is how you can tell, is immediately when people were asking questions after the show or even during the Q&A, he was like, but were you entertained? Like, that was how he was responding to people. And he thinks he's an entertainer, but he's not good at it. That's the problem, too. That's the frustrating part, is like the arrogance this man has and what he's doing. But what I will say is, like, lately this is the Discology 2.0, is like I've began to lose my temper with people. And part of what's happening is, first of all, Corona motherfuckers. All right, guys, it's stressful. Life is stressful right now. It's not easy. I live in Central Florida. Like, we're the hub of industry, tourism. Our economy is shut down right now. And Yeah, exactly. It's really tough everywhere, and it's stressful. I got two children, got a wife, you know, we got parents that are getting older. But anyways, also, what it's like the Eric Hernandez. This is where I think it came to a tipping point, like a boiling point, basically. Yeah. Because, first of all, I didn't feel good at all. I was sick with food poisoning for like 3 days. Like, I'm literally messaging Josh for like 3 days. Like, I'm dying. Now he's like, dude, I'm so, I was like, I don't want to cancel this debate though. Right. And it's not that, whatever. I'm sick, whatever. I can do a debate. But the disingenuousness that, like, interrupting someone's opening speech, right? And like, before I used to have patience for that, where I could be like, okay. But like, when people are just dishonest and disingenuous, it that's what boils it over for me. And I got to remember, like, this is a game to some people, right? This is some theists, not all, but some of these YouTube apologists like Eric, this is a game where his income relies on this, him being a good apologist, right? And if he can come in and he can win that game, it's a lot more important to him.
I don't think I disagree with you at all. In fact, we had, it's coming up on probably 2 years ago now, we had Kent Hovind on, and that was after we had Cy Ten Brugenkade on. And so, and Cy Ten's a fellow Canuck. He lives about 2 hours west of Toronto. And we were talking. We were going to go originally on Non Sequitur. And I had discussed it with Kyle and Steve, and it was pretty much all set up. And then he put the brakes on, and he's like, oh yeah, you're in Toronto. You're only 2 hours away. I'm not interested in doing this online. I do it too much online. Either I will come to you or you will come to me. So we arranged it, and Cy Ten sat 3 feet from where I am right now, and Dean was here, and the three of us had a conversation. And I'll tell you the difference is. So, and when you see, we hear people like Eric Hovind, who I'm convinced knows he's lying, and people like Eric Hernandez, who the same way, I believe they know that they are just talking in circles, versus Cy Ten Brugenkade, who I sat and I was able to look into his eyes, and I still believe he's absolutely wrong.
Sure. But
I don't doubt his sincerity at all.
Absolutely. He's actually, a lot of people give him shit, and he's actually a better guy than what people think he is, right? They get annoyed with his argument, and his argument can be annoying, especially the way he does it. There's no doubt, okay? But you also have to appreciate the man's sense of humor, okay? Like, so a little backstory, people don't know this. So when Mike Winger tried to drop out of his coming on my channel, right? Mike was like chickening out. He was like saying that me and Josh were trying to set him up for some kind of big like conspiracy to make him look bad. By the way, Mike Winger terrified Dr. Josh Bowen, right? Would not let Dr. Josh Bowen even be in the room, not even be in the room with a conversation with me and Mike, right?
I don't know anyways, it's possible to be terrified.
Think he's terrified, dude. Well, the slavery issue, exactly, man, is terrified.
But time, just 1 second. And it's very interesting that you say that, Skyler. Yeah. Because there have been lots of times, and I forget the conversation. I think it was, I'm not sure what the conversation was. Oh, it was about a year ago when you were having a conversation with, I'm going to fuck up his name now. Not Cliff, but Cliff's son, Kanekel.
Stuart. Stuart Kanecki. Yeah.
So you were having a conversation with Stuart, and this was before you had the conversation, I think, with Cliff and like with the both of them.
Yeah, exactly.
And it was during that conversation, and there was a couple of times where, you know, where Josh, you know, sat there and was very, you know, kind of reserved. But at one point, he threw up a couple of things, and Josh was like, "Listen, you don't want to go there, man." Like, and it was just very much inserted the fact that, listen, what you are saying, you are full of shit right now, and you don't want to go there because I know this. You know, I've just wrote, I think at one point, Josh, you said, "I just wrote a book on slavery in the Old Testament. You don't want to go here." And I think that is precisely why there are certain apologists who don't want to have possibly anything to do with you because of this. And, you know, I mean, you know, a pat on the back is only a foot away from a kick in the ass. I get that. But you have a co-host who is, much to his own chagrin, he doesn't want to admit it, an expert on, at minimum, the Old Testament. And they don't want to fuck around with that because they know they can't just run circles around you because you have this backup. In addition to the wealth of knowledge you've gathered yourself, you now have this, you know, ace in the hole, whatever you want to call it, in Dr. Josh, who can say, yeah, no, and here's why, and I'll recite it to you in fucking Greek if you want. and so it is this thing that I believe has has some apologists afraid. So sorry, go ahead and continue.
Well, I think that's incredibly generous of both of you. Thank you.
No, and so, you know, anyways, Mike Winger's trying to weasel his way out of it, right? So he's like, you know, he writes me this email and whatever. And I'm like, so Cy 10 actually messaged me. And he's like, listen, he's like, if Mike Winger won't do it, I'll come on the show and come do a show with you. And I was like, really? And I was like, that's really awesome of you. I was like, thank you, man. And keep in mind, though, keep in mind, folks, this is after I had had a debate with him on non sequitur and ripped him a new asshole. Like, ripped, like, it was brutal. But what was cool about Cy is he appreciated it. Like, I know it sounds funny to say, but, like, he appreciated my sense of humor. He appreciated how that debate went, the respectfulness we had with each other. But I think he appreciated almost having his points challenged for once. These people get caught in the script of what he's doing, and you can't get into that script. You have to figure out a way around that. And I think he appreciates that. But the fact he did that, and me and him message every once in a while back and forth, just talking about general things. I keep trying to get him on. He says he doesn't want to, he's not going to have Bible study with me. And I'm like, that's fine. But anyways, I don't know where all that was going. That was my main point, was to say that Cy 10, I appreciate someone like Cy 10 because they are genuine, like you were saying, compared to someone like Eric Hernandez, who did that as a tactic, which set me off. Like, I'm sick. I'm fucking here for you. Like, I'm willing to listen to your argument and deal with this. And you pulled this bullshit the first 10 minutes
right.
of the show. Like, you showed me with that now I'm going to be an asshole. And I probably overplayed that card as far as that goes. So anyways,
maybe
but I'm trying to calm down.
I think one of the things that I've seen, one of the things that I've seen is sort of sitting in the foregrounded background on the show is, you know, I'm very reticent, as probably everybody can tell, if I don't think I have a very good grasp on a particular topic, I'm reticent to say anything unless I have to about it. And then when I do, I feel like I caveat the hell out of it. And the reason that I do that is because, you know, when you research a topic for a while, particularly when you kind of know how to do research in general, you find out very quickly that some of the most brilliant people in your field are working on that topic, and it's incredibly complex. And like I'm only going to scratch the surface. Like, I'm only going to be able to gather in the limited time that I have to study for this thing. I'm only going to be able to grab the basics. And then, you know, kind of contrast that with the people that I see interacting with Skylar, people that I know don't have advanced degrees in these incredibly complex topics. And yet they tell Skylar that he's not educated in this and he doesn't know about this topic. And my response often just internally is, well, fuck, neither do you.
Exactly.
I mean, what the hell do you know about this topic? I mean, yeah, you've read popular level books on this, or you've dabbled into such and such, you know, philosophy paper by a particular apologist that you favor. But the reality is, you know, it's hard for me to imagine that you've waded into the secondary literature to a point that you should feel comfortable talking about this. And I think that frustrates me because the arrogance that's required, to be able to say to somebody like Skylar, that's kind of what I see in a lot of these debates. Somebody's sitting back and going, well, yeah, I understand why you're saying that, Skylar, but let me explain it to you. It's apologist explaining. That's what it is.
It's apologist explaining. Yeah, it's exactly right. But one of the things that makes that interesting is that, so, and again, you who, you know, who has a fucking PhD in this shit, not all of this shit, but a lot of the stuff you talk about, that's why when that conversation was going on with Stuart, when you did pipe up, and you did say that, that's when it was almost like you had like a small little twitch in your head. It was just like, nope, fuck it, table flip, I've had enough. This is shit I do know, so you can go fuck yourself. because I do know this better than you do, and I've got multiple pieces of paper framed on my wall to fucking prove it, so you shut your fucking mouth. And you can't see this because we're doing video, but you can't see this, but Josh is basically blushing right now.
That's true.
And he has a big smile across his face, and about, and any second I was about to say, yeah, but I could be wrong.
I just hope it didn't come across that way in reality. God,
there's nothing wrong with like I said before, a pat on the back is only a foot away from a kick in the ass. Sure. Cool. But at least accept the pat on the back when it's what you know, you do actually know.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah.
So there you go. I'm going to put my father card away now. I'm done being dad for the night. Okay. So let's, there's a couple of things. Oh, Josh, you let some things out the other night that I guess I had missed. And that is, you just finished another book?
Yeah, just about.
Talk about that. What are your books?
So I...
even though you haven't done the audio yet for mine.
That's right. Okay, I don't know. Just as one last note on that, I think probably what you're going to find is that Megan's going to end up doing it. So you actually should thank me because you'll get to hear her voice for 5 hours, you know?
Okay.
which is, believe me, it's worth it. But when I was, I wrote my dissertation on what would sound like something pretty obscure. And when I wrote it, you know, it was like 600 pages long and it's available. I've made it available to people, but I mean, only specialists in the field of Sumerology are reading the thing, right? And I thought, well, I've put a lot of time into this and I feel like I have some, you know, some decent arguments in it. I should make it into a popular book. It would be way too much work. I have a very, very full-time job. There's no way that it would probably take me 5 years of very dedicated time to publish it as a scholarly, like a non-popular, like an academic work and an academic publication. But to have Digital Hammurabi Press publish it as a popular level book, you know, it doesn't take a lot. So the book is, I've kind of got a working title of Learning and Praying in a Dead Language.
Wow.
And it's about how people, how students learned, how students went to school. I'm saying this so poorly. What schooling was like and what praying was like in ancient Mesopotamia.
But you talked about that a little bit. Like you talked about school and how they would learn to basically make the clay tablets and then press them in. So you have talked about that. So is it along those lines?
It's actually what did the scribal curriculum look like when a kid went to school to learn to be a scribe? Because those are the people that went to school, the people that were going to, you know, be in the administration, in the government. They were going to write administrative texts or receipts or, you know, contracts, whatever. Those are the people that were, you know, going to school. And what did they study? You know, what exercises did they do? Well, we have them, right? We have them. We have the actual clay tablets that have their names on them. You know, so some of them have their names, so have their thumbprints. Thousands of these things. And so in my dissertation, I surveyed all that material. And then I wrote about this group of cuneiform tablets that came from a particular city. It was called the city of Kish. It was near modern day Baghdad. And at that city, there were school exercise tablets found. And there were also prayers found. And so I wrote, because they were in the same group, I wrote my dissertation looking at both of them. So, you know, the book describes how kids went to school, what they learned, what they wrote, how they memorized different math exercises, different vocabulary exercises, grammar exercises. Eventually they copied proverbs, you know, like Proverbs like you see in the Bible, these little pithy statements, so that they could learn a little more grammar, a little more syntax. And then they started memorizing and copying out Sumerian literature. So like Gilgamesh stuff and, you know, Enkidu and all these, you know, all these Sumerian pieces of literature. That's what they memorized. And that's how they learned to write and to, you know, to write well. But
is
in
that where,
same,
just to stop for a second, is that where Dino De Laurentiis got the story of Conan the Barbarian? Because that was around the same time, right? So I'm completely fucking with you right now.
Oh, okay. sorry, I'm not. There are certain things that I know, and then other things that I don't.
I saw the wheel yes. turning for a second. Like, fuck, should I know that name? Who's Dino De Laurentiis?
But the neat thing is those tablets are found near a ziggurat. If your listeners know what that is, it's like the Sumerian version of a pyramid. So like a temple, a place of worship. And in that same general group were found these tablets that had prayers on them. And these prayers were, see, prayers weren't really said by normal people. Prayers were said, at least these types of prayers were said by special priests. And these priests were responsible for praying to the gods to keep them calm. Because the idea was that gods would get mad. There was a god in every city, sometimes more than one. And gods could get mad at the drop of a hat. Like if you had to, you know, fix up their temple, for say if a wall started to fall down, you had to fix it up. Or if you had to move them somewhere in a parade or a procession or something, they could get really pissed off and go apeshit, right? And so these priests, their main job was to pray to these gods and say, easy, big fella. Easy, big fella. So what I do in the book, and we have a lot of these tablets, and they're actually special tablets. They're written in an interesting way, and they say something about the city that they were found in. But I talk about how kids went to school, what school was like, and how the tablets that are found in this particular city kind of fill out that picture in the early second millennium. And then I talk about these prayers, what the prayers were like in general, what they, you know, what they contained and who prayed them and how they were performed. And then how the particular prayers that were found at that city of Kish fill out the picture of prayer in that time period. So it should be interesting. It should be done probably in the next month. And then we'll have to copy edit it and everything, but.
And your digital Hammurabi press
Digital Hammurabi Press. Yep.
Is publishing that?
Yep.
Okay. Well, you'll have to make sure that we get, afterwards I'll get all the links and all. I think I still have most of your links saved.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
Anything and everything that we have, YouTube, Twitter, any of the books that we have, papers, they're all, you know, that are available for free. We have a website, digitalhammurabi.com.
There you go.
And if anybody goes to digitalhammurabi.com, it's all there. We have a kids channel that's linked there. We have our podcast. They're linked there. So
awesome. Awesome. Skylar, I want to jump back to you for a second.
Yeah.
Here's a question I have for you. Why is it that you think that, I guess I'll have to make a statement and then ask you the question.
That's right.
Every single solitary, to the best of my knowledge, to the best of my memory, discussion, debate I've ever seen you involved in, none of your interlocutors address your arguments. They always just go after you. Why do you think that is?
You know, I was thinking about this the other day. I'm not going to share the person's name, but I'll say I sent a message to Dr. Josh with a particular person I thought would understand my argument. And from this particular message that I was sent, it clearly, they didn't understand it, right? Especially when it came to the morality argument. I don't know. It's like either cognitive dissonance. I don't know if it's like they just, with the morality argument, for some reason, even though I can tell them over and over, I'm showing a contradiction within your own God standard. Somehow they always take it to, I'm giving you an opinion about what I think of your God.
Right.
And I don't understand it. I can't connect with, but it happens so much and I don't know if I'm a terrible communicator. At this point, I'm starting to think it's the way I'm communicating it. But I don't understand it, to be frank.
It's, to me, you know, actually Braxton Hunter in the video that we just reviewed a couple of days ago, I'll use his example to sort of explain this. He talks about doing an internal critique and talking about the Lord of the Rings and why is it that Frodo and Sam couldn't just fly on the backs of the eagles all the way to Mount Doom and drop the rings in, right? And what I hear Skyler doing is saying, okay, all right, I'm going to let me step into the Lord of the Rings. It seems like a contradiction here that if the eagles could fly all the way out and get them and bring them back from an active volcano, that they should have been able to just fly them out there. And what I hear apologists saying back to him is, you don't think there's a Mount Doom. Like, you don't believe that the Lord of the Rings is real. It's like, well, wait. But
you don't even know what to do with it when they say it.
I'll take a Robin for 200, please, Alex. Yeah,
exactly.
It doesn't matter.
It's a struggle.
Sorry, what were you saying?
Sorry. No, I was going to say it's frustrating, right? Like, one of the things is you get that was one of the things I started to lose my patience with people is, it's like, I don't mind if something's complicated and you need some time to explain it, but you got to be more precise with how you're explaining it, right? Like, what the tendency to happen, even today, I'm setting up a debate. I don't get too much in details with somebody coming up in the future, right? And they basically wanted this over-the-top formal debate, like 20-minute openers each, 15-minute rebuttals, 20-minute cross-examination each. And I'm like, listen, dude, it's next week. I don't have time to do all this, to write all – like, I was like, we can do 10-minute openers, 10-minute rebuttals, and then we can have a back and forth.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, it's my argument's really complicated. It doesn't go that easily. It's like, okay, brother, I get it. Like, you're not going to tell me anything new that I haven't heard before, right? But if you are, write it in some kind of like syllogism. I'm saying you have to use syllogism, but come with bullet points so that when we have this discussion, I can be like, there's point one. Let's see if we agree here and let's go down, right? I'm not saying you have to have a syllogism. I'm just saying you should have something that makes this easier. If you really want me to talk about this in a deeper way and really engage with what you're saying, then we need to go this point by point, right? And I'm losing the patience for that because everyone thinks that they're so original sometimes. I know it sounds kind of mean, but people think they're so original and their ideas are so new. I haven't heard a new argument for anything. I can't even remember. I can't honestly not
Kalam
remember
is
last
still
time.
Just Kalam.
Yes.
Well, see, right? One of the ideas that Skyler and I had, and you know, it's still kind of in the works, because it's a little time consuming to do. When you go to court, not that I'm a legal expert, but when you go to court, you know, the days of being able to come to court and surprise, you know, your opponent with your arguments are over, right? You don't get to just hoard all the evidence and then come to trial. You have to have discovery. So this was one of the ideas that we had of hosting debates in a court style fashion where beforehand people had to submit what they were going to argue in written format. And it could be in an outline or whatever. But my job would be to read through all the material, understand their arguments, and then Skyler's job would be to like strongly moderate, and I would step in and I would, or you know, and say, nope, you're trying to admit, you know, facts, not in evidence, right? You can't argue that. You can't sneak that in the back door. And the reason that I think that would be so powerful is because if I send Skyler what I'm going to argue and he sends me what he's going to argue, then we have time to think it through and present counterpoints. And that's the way we actually get somewhere. Are you actually, because this is how things work in academia. You don't get to just like keep all your stuff and then blah, go out on the attack. People know what you're arguing. They come back and they write a review of it.
It's a game.
I think that's brilliant, and I doubt you'll ever get a taker for it. And the reason I say that, and this may be incredibly cynical, but two words, Gish Gallop. And it, cause it takes away that possibility. Right.
Yeah.
If everything is laid out and you're going to, and you're arguing down a certain path and it's not going the way they want, they can't all of a sudden say, well, how do you know God didn't create the earth 5 seconds ago?
Mm.
Right. Yeah. And I think that is where some of the dishonesty, and I don't think there's any other way to put it, and I don't think it's unfair. That's where I think some of the dishonesty of modern apologetics comes in.
Mm. It becomes too much like a game is the problem, right? And I get it. Like, it is competitive. Like, when you go into these debates, especially someone who does it regularly, you start learning, like, how do I say this? There's a different perspective from the viewer than the debater.
Absolutely.
Okay. And as a, if you're always watching modern day debate or you're watching other channels of debate, you miss the subtleties because you don't understand, like, you're just not in it. It's like anything else in life. If you're not experiencing it sometimes, it's harder to kind of get a bigger picture. Mm-hmm. And with debates, if I wanted to be a jerk or an asshole, I could win debates without substance because it's a game. It's a simple game of who can highlight the mistakes of the other person to where that's what you remember at the end of the show.
I would lose absolutely every time.
I don't think so.
Skyler, you make a really good point though. And one of the, and I think the biggest, the name that echoes in my head for my one interaction and your several interactions with him is, whatever the fuck he's calling himself now, crushing atheism, Darth Dawkins.
Oh yeah,
the fuck he's calling himself now. Because when I debated him on Modern Day Debate, I went on, and my whole thing is, now that I formulated my argument, is it's 3 points, one page. It takes me about 9 minutes to read. And I read those out, and he didn't address a single fucking point I made. So what you said is absolutely right on, because it's not, because he in particular, he's not interested in what you said. I think at this point it's just masturbatory for him. I think he has all of his debates on a playlist that he just listens to and jerks off all day long to the sound of his own voice.
Yeah, but Michael, is anything that you said true?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. I can't prove I'm not a brain in a vat.
Yeah, what is your ultimacy? What accounts for the possibility and impossibility?
That's right. What is your unconditional non-dependent or whatever?
Non-dependent.
Yeah.
The precepts thing, I love precepts. I think they're fun people to talk to. I love it when I get in conversation with them. They drive a lot of people crazy. Darth's just mean. I probably wouldn't have a conversation with Darth at this point, at least again, past what I've had him, but remember, who was that one dude? This guy, Eli, is another like type precept guy.
I'm not familiar with
him. And I got him to rage quit from the show. He got so mad because I kept getting him on point. Like when you get with precept people, if you get them on point and you get them to talk about like what they're really saying to you, like just break it down even simpler. Because all they're saying to you in the very end is like when they say that you're using your reasoning to justify your reasoning, mm-hmm. is they're saying you're using your brain to see if your brain is working.
Yeah.
And then when you put it like that, they're like, well, I don't like how you put that. Like, why? That's exactly what I'm doing. Reasoning is a function of the brain. I'm using my brain to see if something is working. You can't do anything in life without using your brain. It's not possible.
It's 100% true. It's the same as when you talk to someone about evolution and they say, well, do you think you're just a bag of chemicals? Well, it's like, well, if you break it down to the lowest common denominator, we are just meat tubes with openings at each end. And we quite literally are, you know, skin barnacles. But we are in that way, we are more than the sum of our parts.
Absolutely.
But there's this oversimplification sometimes that has to be made. After James hit the stop record, like the stop button, when I was on MDD with Darth, Darth asked me to come on to his Discord. I don't use Discord. He asked me to come onto his Discord thing and talk to him. And I said, yeah, you're out of your fucking mind. I said, I'm not going anywhere when you have all the power, dude.
Yeah.
And he was upset by that. But yeah, it's an interesting thing. Okay, let's jump in. We got a little bit of news to do. Toss a little bit of comic relief in here. Just before we get started on the news, so a couple things I want to say. One, as everybody listening to this knows, we do this, we at the Canadian Atheists do this purely for the advocacy, but some people need or want to make a little bit of money off of this. So when you go to YouTube and hit subscribe to both Skylar Fiction and Digital Hammurabi, you know, the likes and shares, all that stuff are good and they help. But if you're watching their content and you see value in it, then, you know, dropping a couple bucks either on Patreon or when they're doing a stream and you toss them a little bit of super chat love, it can help a lot. You don't give it to me, I don't want your money. So give it to other people. And I can't think of two better people than Skylar and Dr. Josh.
Thank you, Mike.
The other thing that I'll say is coming up, another little bit of shameless self-promotion. I shouldn't say self-promotion for my wife. As everybody knows, I think I talked about it. My wife is now the CEO of the Foundation Ontario Shores Center for Mental Health Sciences. Tomorrow, Saturday, May 16th at 9 p.m., they're doing a COVID comedy hour. You can go to covidcomedy.eventcreate.com. Everything is 100% free. But they're going to have professional comics on. And with everything that's going on in the world, having a laugh wouldn't be a bad thing. So if you want to donate and support, you can go to ontarioshores.ca/donate-covid-comedy. Ontario Shores does a bunch of amazing stuff, including more than 100,000 outpatient visits a year to help them with their mental health challenges. I don't think anyone listening to this, anyone hearing our voices tonight, doesn't know someone that deals with some type of mental health challenge. It is so prevalent in today's society and with all the shit going on in today's world, especially with COVID and shit, a laugh can't hurt anybody. So if that touches you in any way, or you just feel like laughing a little bit, sadly, I won't be on there. You know, they couldn't get as big a name as me on the comedy show, but there'll be some great comics on there. So do that. So just moving into the little bit of audio that we've got, as I mentioned before, we got your friend and mine, Rick Wiles. Rick is, fuck, man. In the world of tinfoil hats, this is interesting. And I'll be curious to hear, Skylar, your and Josh's response to this. Because one of the things that I've found so prevalent over the past number of years is the unbelievable amount of Christian persecution. They're coming for our churches. They're going to kill us in the street. They're going to outlaw Christianity. Well, Rick has changed his tune. And so I found this to be pretty interesting. So let's have a listen to Mr. Rick Wiles.
Israeli newspaper, Alabama's anti-abortion law. This is what Christian rule looks like in America. Yeah, that's exactly what it looks like. We Christians are standing up and pushing out Zionism. That's what we're doing. Zionism brought the slaughter of 65 million babies to America, and we're going to end it, and we are going to impose Christian rule in this country.
Christian rule. How you guys feel about that? Now, you're agnostics. You're agnostic, so you're going to slide under the wire.
Yeah.
The first thing I want to say is citation, please. 65 million? Like over what time period?
Here's the thing. I don't want any kind of religion in charge. Let me put it that way. I've watched The Handmaid's Tales. I think that's more realistic than what people actually think could happen here at least in the United States. You guys are much more fucking sane up in Canada. United States, we've got some interesting situations going on down here.
But what's really interesting is that you guys actually have a secular government. It's in your constitution. The third line of the Canadian Constitution recognizes the supremacy of Almighty God.
Mm.
We do not have a secular constitution at all. There is a Church of Canada. So ironically, you know, just the same as Church of England, stuff like that, although England is, you know, much more secular. Canada, you know, we recognize it in our constitution. You guys who have a secular government, you've got fucking Mike Pence.
Yeah. Well, yeah, no, it's scary. It's scary. Like, here's the thing, man. This country is divided in what I would call, like, basically, like, three major sections. Like, you have the Northeast, which is more liberal, more progressive. It's like the city folk, different culture. You have the South, Southeast, basically. That's where all your religious fundamentalism comes from. The South, Alabama, Georgia, Florida, all those states. North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, Kentucky. Like, this is the stronghold of Christian conservatism in our country, right? And then what you have is out west, you know, of course, the West Coast is super liberal, but the rest of the West is more like this libertarian type Republican, right? Don't where they're not so religious. Yeah, they're just more like, yo, we don't like the government. Like, let us smoke our weed and do our thing. No, but it's scary, man. I mean, this is what my biggest issue is with why I talk politically on my show much more than I used to. Is that we have a bunch of ignorant Christian fundamentalists. They're out there the ones protesting the shut-ins and stuff like that. Right. They're not doing this on some kind of rational basis. Like, if this was a rational basis, if they were really making a genuine argument why we need to reopen the economy, even though the repercussions may be great, like, at least I would have a little more respect for them, right? But their basic argument is Jesus is going to protect me from the virus somehow. And these conspiracy theories, it's dangerous, man. It scares me. I like I said, The Handmaid's Tale is a lot more realistic than I think people realize in this country. If a tragic situation happens, these religious people with their guns down here, I mean, they're obsessed with guns for some reason. It's scary, man.
Yeah, maybe I'm being a little too general. I don't know if you guys are aware. We talked about it last week on the podcast. Our Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, no, you can't have him. Just 3 weeks ago, the Liberal government put out a ban on 1,500 assault-style weapons in Canada. A right ban. Including probably the most popular in the U.S., the AR-15. Completely, it's just banned.
How are you guys going to hunt deer now? I don't understand.
It's funny. That it's funny because that reminds me of a comedy skit that Robin Williams did a bunch of years ago. He said, you know, he's like, oh, you know, people say, you know, you have the right to have armor piercing bullets. He's like, why? How many deer wear a bulletproof vest? But it's absolutely true. It's like, you don't need this kind of shit. Now, it doesn't touch handguns at all. And it also doesn't touch, you know, like if you are a legitimate hunter, there are places in Canada, just like there are places in the U.S. where, you know, it's like if taking your garbage out means you can be attacked by an animal, you should have a gun. I live in a suburban suburban metropolitan area. I'm half an hour from the CN Tower. And I have a grocery store where I can buy all the meat I want, 3.5 minutes from my front door. So I don't need a gun. I don't like guns. The police are maybe 500 meters away. That's a quarter of a mile from my house. Same with the fire department. I don't need guns. I don't like guns. So it doesn't make any sense to me. Anyway, Rick wasn't quite done. Let's hear the rest of his idiocy. And then, hey, everybody, stay tuned. We have an interview with the President of the United States.
Why are you imposing Judaism on me? Because that's exactly what's been done in America since 1973 with Roe v. Wade. Judaism was imposed on me.
I'm pretty sure Jews are anti-abortion.
I would imagine so. Right. I would imagine so.
Where is he getting that?
Up from his ass.
Oh, I see.
It's true. He's imaginary land.
Yeah, he's getting it. Yeah, right. He's plucking it right out of the fucking magic land.
Based on my Christian nation, and we became a Jewish nation that kills babies. That's against my Christian beliefs. Judaism became the law of the land in America. That's precisely what the courts have ruled. They have based their rulings on the Zohar, on the Talmud. And now we have Zionistic Talmudic law ruling this country and resulting in the death of millions of babies.
Hey, so when did you guys get yarmulkes mailed out to you?
I've always had mine. So.
Oh, you've all. Oh, okay. Yeah. That the Near Eastern studies, that kind of makes sense.
I opted out. Yeah, because I had it. That kind
of makes sense. But Skylar, I don't know if you, I mean, would you put it on top of your hat? Can you
I
do that?
Yes, maybe. I don't know. Maybe for I would especially wear it for a day, that yarmulke, yeah. Just for the sake of it, you know?
Okay. Let's see
what you know what? It's probably what he's doing, this guy. I don't know much about this dude at all. Is probably what he's doing is he's using his hatred of Jewish people, right? But then he's just connecting with Old Testament stories. That's why he's talking about the baby killing. He's probably just like, hey, if they're willing to kill babies here, this story.
I miss this.
Like, maybe that's what he's doing. I don't know.
I miss the theme, though. Is this guy really anti-Jewish? It wasn't like glaringly obvious from the things that he... anti-Semitic asshole. Okay, what else you got to say?
Ms. Cohen, we Christians are standing up and we're telling you we're done with Zionism. We're done with your values. We are going to impose Christian values in America again.
Pretty sure that's already happened.
Or not, you represent less than 2% of the population of this country. How does 2% rule the rest of the nation? I know how. Here. You control the banks. You control the technology. You control the media.
You control the pews.
And then you buy out the churches. Move that money around and those...
It seems to me like he's really, really upset that he's not getting in on the money. Sounds like he's upset he's not getting in on the money.
Well, I think if you keep listening, he goes, Zionism.
Exactly. He'll blow that shit right out of the water. How is that guy not in fucking prison? Wait, that's oral, right? No.
Oh, no, it's Kenneth Copeland.
Kenneth Copeland.
That's Skyler's main man.
That he fucking is. Guy is worth like $700 million.
Oh, yeah.
Like, how is that fucking guy not in prison? Like, when he was, there was a thing with him on TV where he had his hand dipped in oil and he was like, oh, I'm touching the camera. I'm healing your coronavirus through the television. Fuck, man.
Harry.
I've always wondered how you can have a legitimate televangelist named Creflo Dollar.
Oh, exactly. Dollar Creflo bills, yo.
Dollar.
Oh, I know.
They throw money at him, bro. They throw money at him. Like,
or Dr. E.V. Hill.
Well, we did this. We covered this. I don't know. It's probably going on 3 years ago now. It's hard to believe we've been doing this for over 3 years now. And I went through the top 10. Apologists and what they're worth. And I think Creflo was like 20 at that time was 25 or $30 million. That's what my wife calls fuck off money. It's like if you got that much money, you can tell anybody to fuck off. Doesn't matter.
It's true.
And you just get it like, and it's just from lying to people. It's just, I could be wrong. No, I'm not wrong though. It's just from lying to people. Okay. So let's, what are we going to do now? Okay, let's do the... So this, I don't know if you guys heard this or not. This is... we have a little bit of an interview. It's a short interview. It's hard to get a lot of Trump's time. It's only 50 seconds long. But we have here a... these are hard questions from a reporter. But you have to listen to Trump's responses. But it's very telling. This is your commander-in-chief.
The virus was just like the flu. You did. You also said the virus could go away by April. No, sir. You said it would disappear like a miracle. Yes. You said only 15 people have it and it would go down close to zero. You did. You said chloroquine would treat it. We should try injecting disinfectant. You said anyone who needs a test can get one. You praised China for being transparent. You got rid of the pandemic response team. You ignored every warning throughout January and February.
Okay. Obviously, yeah, not the president of the United States. That was shared by Jimmy Kimmel last week. It was, it's on my Facebook page. Everybody can go to my Facebook page, send me a friend request. It's a little bit down there. Basically, you guys heard of these things called deep fakes, where they superimpose the voice and they make it sound like this person really said it. Well, the person who did this is a fucking genius, because what they did was they took a toddler's body who's standing there, and they video edited Trump's face onto this toddler, and it's brilliant. And it's this toddler, basically, you know, like, obviously the mother was like, in the original video, it's probably like, you know, why'd you eat the cookie? And the kid's like, I didn't eat the cookie, or something like that, right? But they superimposed this, you know, why did you do this? Oh, no, because of course Trump is a fucking man-child. I had to share that little bit of comic relief.
Have you heard the joke about Donald Trump in hell yet?
No. Do tell.
So let me tell you this. Now, this is not my joke. Just because I don't want anybody to think I'm stealing somebody's joke. I may not tell it exactly the same. But basically, Donald Trump dies. And he ends up in hell. And Satan's like, listen, hell's kind of full right now. But, you know, God says I have to take you. You know, but I'm going to give you a choice out of three people who you can replace. And you can stay in their hell for the rest of your life, basically. And, you know, so, you know, first door, you know, Satan brings Trump to the door, and he opens the door, and it's Barack Obama. And Barack Obama's basically just jumping off this cliff into a pit of water that's really, really hot and boiling, gets out and has to climb all the way to the top of the cliff and keep jumping over and over again. And Donald Trump's like, no, that's too much. I don't want to be climbing rocks, jumping in water, whatever. Right. So he's like, all right. When Satan goes to the second door, he pulls it open. He's like, listen, opens the door. There's George Bush. And George Bush is basically pushing this big ass heavy rock to the top of this mountain, kind of like whatever that ancient Greek character. And when he, as soon as he gets to the top, the rock rolls back down. He's going to push that rock back up. And Trump's like, oh my God, that is just too exhausting. I can't spend my life fucking, you know, pushing boulders up and down in hell.
I've seen some of the biggest boulders that some of these can see them.
Exactly.
The best boulders.
The biggest boulders, yeah. He gets to say, he's like, all right, well, you're left with the third door. And he opens it up, and there's Bill Clinton. And it's like the 1990s, and Monica Lewinsky's like going to town on Bill Clinton, right? And Donald Trump's like, all right, yeah. He's like, I could deal with this kind of hell. This seems like, yeah, I could take this with Monica Lewinsky. And Satan's like, okay, great. Monica, come on. You can leave. You can replace.
I did not have sexual relations with that man. Yeah. That's awesome.
I was rolling. I heard that last night. I was in the mood. And it was awesome. Fantastic.
But it's totally fitting. Because, of course, with his degree of pomposity that he has, he would of course be Bill Clinton in that scenario.
Yes.
He would of course be Bill Clinton. That's very funny. Okay. So I want to talk a little bit about, you know, the whole, you know, state of the world, the way things are right now. How are things in, because you guys, I mean, Skylar, you're in Florida. Josh, I forget where you are. You're just outside.
Just outside DC.
DC, right. Pardon me. What are things like where you guys are right now?
It's not very different. Well, it's weird because Disney's closed and I live 15 minutes away from Disney. So like there's no theme parks open. You go outside, it doesn't seem like there's any difference in Florida. Like people are just going to the parks and walking outside. But we were shut down completely. It's not till recently everything started opening up. But we haven't been as luckily, fortunately for us, and hopefully this will continue. Who knows with us just opening up everything. We weren't hit that hard in Central Florida. Miami got kind of hit hard a little bit more than we did. But we haven't gotten too many cases. I think in the county I live in, it's like 500 cases. And that's right where Disney World is. But it's weird. There's nothing open. Everyone's out of work. Florida, well, I'll tell you one little story real quick. Our old governor, Rick Scott, douchebag Rick Scott, What he did is he fucked our system for unemployment, right? So these conservatives don't want people on any kind of government program. They don't agree with any kind of government programs. They want to eliminate them. So what he did was made the unemployment system incredibly difficult to get on and put in a put your case in for it. Okay.
Okay.
In fact, I ran into this a couple months before the thing had happened when I had lost my job and had to do it. I was like, this is overly complicated. This doesn't make sense. Working in a tech background, looking at this website, I'm like, this is purposely done this way. Well, anyways, here comes our economy crashing because everything is based on tourism in Central Florida and most of Florida in general. And now everyone doesn't have jobs and are filing for unemployment on a broken ass website that is made purposely difficult and non-functional so people don't get approved. So it's a hot mess. People are waiting days and days to even be able to get on the website and respond because our conservative governor purposely made it difficult.
But you got $1,200 though.
Yes, that's true. To get the $1,200. I will say for Florida, it's not too bad because it's cheap to live. We're not a super high expensive economy to live in. It's getting more expensive cost of housing, but yeah, no, it's shitty, man. And Florida, you know, Florida, you've heard Florida, man. What's happened here every time something crazy happens is down here in Florida. We have a wild state, man.
Wow. Josh, what about DC?
Yeah, I mean, because there are, you know, from a governmental standpoint, because teleworking was such a big thing anyway, it seems like there are a lot of government agencies that are still able to function and people are just working from home primarily. But, you know, we also have an awful lot of essentials. Like I go to work, I'm in the construction business. So, you know, when I go to work in the morning, it doesn't seem like there are fewer cars than there normally would be. And, you know, people aren't going to restaurants and, you know, to eat in, but I mean, you know, I see just as many people on the road. It seems like that there probably aren't, but it still seems like there are, but I feel like people have, and maybe it's just the way that it seems to me, but it seems like we've kind of gotten into a bit of a groove with this. But it's still pretty shut down.
Mm. Yeah, it's weird here. So we have premiers where you have governors, basically Canada and the premier of Ontario here, who's, you know, who's not a great guy, but he's responded well to this crisis. We've just started opening up this kind of it's a three-tier system, so like, or three stages of opening back up again. Each one is going to last around 4 weeks or more, and they're going to have their hands on the reins at any moment to pull back if things start to fall to shit again. But sometimes people forget, Toronto's the fourth largest city in North America. And so we did have major, like it was when everybody kind of started working from home, when things started shutting down, our highways, like Highway 401, which is the main highway that runs through Toronto. It runs from basically Montreal all the way to Windsor, which is at the Detroit border. It's the busiest highway in North America, bar none. And at its widest point, it's 16 lanes wide. And
holy crap.
You could fire a cannon down the 401. And normally, traffic on the 401, rush hour starts about 5 o'clock in the morning. It ends about 2 o'clock in the morning. And it can take you 3 hours to traverse the city at any other time during that span. So it's a big deal. Now, we also lack some of the infrastructure. One of the things I've always loved about the U.S. U.S. is the interstate. The interstates seem to be pretty well designed, and you wouldn't see as much gridlock, or at least my experience is you wouldn't see as much gridlock. We are far behind as far as infrastructure goes. But we've started to open things up a little bit. But I was curious to hear how it is there. From a governmental standpoint, were there any other than that $1,200 was, and you said, Skylar, you said that EI was really, our employment insurance was really hard to get on. What other than, well, of course, you know, the government's not taking responsibility, right, for anything. At least the federal government isn't. What other safeguards have you seen that are in place to help people, if any.
This is America, man. These safeguards, unfortunately, aren't in place. It's sad. Listen, I
think they've lowered the price of ammunition a little bit, but
yeah, get a cheaper gun maybe right now. Listen, there's always things like welfare, food stamps, but a lot of it's through the state also, which is depending on where you live. It just depends on who controls your state government, and if they want to make it difficult for you. There's not really much. The stimulus is it. The Democrats just passed another $3 trillion stimulus, which is a lot of money. I don't know if we can keep, even as someone who's pretty liberal, like we got to figure out something, like the amount of money you're spending. We can't keep printing money out and doing things like this. But
yeah, you can see some runaway inflation in a year or so.
Well, and the thing too is I don't know why Democrats always think big, conservatives, Republicans are always like nothing. Like they're like, we don't want you to have anything. Like we want to give businesses and corporations tax cuts. I'm speaking kind of a little hyperbolically, but that's a lot of the time what's going on. Democrats always have these giant bills they're trying to pass with so much in it. I'm like, just do single things. Just do the spending for the American people, right? If it was up to the Republicans, we wouldn't have any money. There would have been no money for individuals. It just would have went to governments, corporations. Why people continue to vote for this party in this country, I don't understand it. They've demonized liberals, basically. They've made liberalism, that word, a very bad word. People don't understand why universal healthcare would benefit them. They just think that everybody else is cheating the system except for them, who's just wholesome and honest. And when they get on welfare, some kind of government program, they're doing it for the right reason. But anybody else is...
Yeah, it is interesting. The whole universal healthcare is it is just a complete no-brainer. I have this. I've pissed off a lot of my American Facebook friends and stuff like that, because people, you know, it's like post about how, you know, America's greatest country, and I'm like, nope, you don't even crack the top 10. You don't recognize healthcare as a human right. I'm sorry, but that eliminates you from best country in the world status, like right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
Personally.
What doesn't make any sense? I mean, listen, it's good for business too. What I don't understand with these two parties is it's good for businesses and corporations also to have universal health care, because they don't have to provide it. They don't have to spend all that money providing it for their employees, which it isn't really in their business. They shouldn't. I mean, I get it the way our system's set up. Now that's kind of how you have to do it, because that's pretty much our only option. But I mean, listen, you have the problem. We are so divided in this country now. And it's not necessarily even on policy. It's just name calling on both sides. And I think the conservative position, the politician, I'm not talking about the people who are Republicans, like people living their everyday life who just consider themselves Republican, but the politicians that are Republicans are so a wing of corporate America and doing. I mean, they just literally people are going crazy in our streets about wearing face masks, saying this is government overreach. And our Senate Republicans just approved that the government could go and look through our browsing history on the internet, and not a fucking word said. It makes what we choose to pay serious? Attention to in this country. Yeah, wow. I'm talking about. Like what we choose to focus on in this country is completely irrational. It's driven by media. It's driven by sensationalism. It's ignorance on Americans' part. Part of the problem is like we're all. I should speak a little too generally. Generally, America is very wealthy. Okay.
Well, fuck yeah.
Lots of people. Yeah. There's a lot of people with money. Don't get me wrong. There are people who are struggling. There are really poor people in this country that need a lot of help, and we need to be working towards that. But generally, there's so much wealth in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And we are distracted by internet, entertainment, media, that people don't have to be involved or understand. They just watch whatever, Facebook, TikTok, these social media, they listen to other idiots telling them, just like when we deal with Christianity on the internet. It's like you're getting your information from YouTube. It isn't a place to gain knowledge.
Yeah, there was something that I read. Of course, I read it online, so it has to be true. that something like 50% of people now consume their news from Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
Which I found interesting. I try to watch a portion of news from, like, you know, either, like, we have like local stuff. So, but I mean, I flick on CNN every once in a while, BBC News World, things like that. you know, but try to get in local news. I try to watch some every day. And, but, so I found it. Now, I'll see news stories on Facebook and I'll, you know, sometimes I share them before I've checked, you know, and I've got my foot in my mouth a few times doing that and had to go back and say, wow, fucked up there. But yeah, it is interesting. And I guess what I'll say is you're certainly not alone in that, because mm-hmm. There are certainly lots of Canadians that have blinders on when it comes to those types of things as well. So you're not alone in your microcosm, from that stance. But that brings up an interesting point, which is the next thing I want to talk about, something totally non-controversial. What's going to happen in November? Because I got to tell you, we are shitting uh-huh. ourselves up here. We are fucking scared. We really
personally
are.
I'm a little more optimistic. I think Biden's going to win pretty handily, to be honest with you. I think that he is there's just two demographics that we got to focus on. They really need to be focused on this election. Right. Because it's a numbers game. You got to understand, our American political system is the electoral map. Right. And this is a game broken down to a couple states, because most of your states are going to vote as normal. Right. Yeah. Your big states, New York, California, Texas, Florida, are going to vote Republican. California and New York is going to vote Democrat.
Like, there's a lot of delegates. Isn't it pretty much Ohio that pretty much decides every time?
Your swing states are going to be now are going to be Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Minnesota, maybe Arizona now. We're looking at maybe flipping. It used to be Ohio and Florida were the main ones. They're pretty much Republican states now. We've just come to terms that they become Republican states. They may – Obama voted for – Democrats in Florida voted for Obama both elections. But you need a particular candidate in Florida if you're going to get a Democratic president. Anyways, but the thing is old people love Joe Biden and old people vote. And that's the truth. Yeah. And, you know, people can say whatever they want down here. They were all like, I liked Bernie Sanders. I liked a lot of his positions. And my thing is, but in the end, Joe Biden's more electable. And because old people, they come out and they vote. And he's very big with the black community. And you need those votes. You need places like Virginia, North Carolina. We want to win Arizona. If they would have put someone who's too far left, we would have lost those chances to win places like Arizona, North Carolina. And I think he's going to choose someone like Elizabeth Warren or Kamala Harris for his VP. So depending on where the wind blows at that point, I think personally Kamala Harris would probably be, even though I like Elizabeth Warren more, I think she's a stronger candidate, a black, has similar views to Joe Biden. But Warren is a very policy-driven person, a little bit more liberal. Might try to bring the party together, but who knows? Who knows if they do something crazy? Because if it's crazy, don't discount something like Michelle Obama showing up as Joe Biden's VP if they think there's a chance they might lose.
Interesting. Yeah, Josh, what do you think?
They were asking what you think, Josh. Yeah.
I'm probably not the person to ask about news or politics because I don't really watch the news.
Delete. No.
Skylar's had to become accustomed to him being able to ask me questions and then go, oh, wait, never mind. You don't really watch the news, do you?
No,
I have my nose in a book all the time. So, you know,
okay.
Let me say this, though. Look out for this. Watch this move happen. Is watch Donald Trump drop Mike Pence and put Nikki Barber as his VP. Oh my God, that would be amazing.
The twerking VP, that could be interesting.
But wait, watch him drop Pence and watch Nikki. Is it Nikki Harper? No, what's he? What's his? Anyways, from South Carolina.
But does that woman loosen the evangelical vote?
No, they're gonna. If they haven't lost him, if he hasn't lost those votes yet, like they're not gonna lose it now. I don't think they like Mike Pence. Nobody likes, even the evangelicals don't like Mike Pence. He's got no personality. But like, if Trump hasn't lost the evangelicals yet, after saying I'm going to grab him by the pussy, and and just having no sense of it all of morality or sense of decency, like they're not going anywhere. The man lied to his people during the campaign, lied to his fans, saying he did not have an affair on his wife with a porn star, and then paid her off.
Yep.
And then it came out that he did have an affair with his wife with a porn star, and did.
point taken.
They're not going nowhere.
Point taken.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow, we're coming up on it. Fuck, an hour and a half. This is awesome. Okay, so let's talk about what you guys have got coming up. So we talked about it a little bit, but Skylar, you alluded to a debate that you're working on. I don't want you to give away any too juicy details, but tell us what we can look forward to seeing soon.
Well, this weekend I'm gonna have two guests on my channel. So tomorrow, to really test Skylar 2.0, Sky Out's gonna come on the channel. You familiar with Sky Out? You
know who
Sky
Out is?
It's something. He's gonna come on. It's worth watching if you haven't seen my other. It's a disaster. He's apparently has a theological degree. I don't believe him, but he showed me it one time on camera off air, and I was like, bro, I don't know what you learned there because you didn't like you were dumber than a bag of rocks. I'm trying to say that in a nice way. There's not much, but he is dumber than a bag of rocks, and he is that arrogance like G-Man, same type of deal. But he'll be on tomorrow night. And Sunday we're having hold on a second. I gotta look at this.
Tough love philosophy.
He's interesting.
He's been a critic of Mike Winger, but I think it's because of the conspiracy stuff.
Yeah, he may be a flat earther, or he might be, but I'm not playing on.
He's a 5G person.
Happening. Yeah, so that's Sunday.
Will you be? Will you be recommending tinfoil hats for that, or
maybe get some popcorn, get some tinfoil hats, and get ready for that excitement. Yeah, that should
have
be
some Jiffy show. Pop, and then you can just turn it upside down afterwards when you're done.
This is on another level.
You got your snack protection built in one.
Yeah, that would be amazing. Like, that's what I'm talking about. Like, I don't know, man. That thing's coming up. We don't have any debates. Two-on-two debates right now. Not right now.
Well, what everybody's going to have to do is everybody's going to have to, when they subscribe and when they hit the bell notification, then they'll be able to find out as soon as things do get posted, even if you post just a little update, and let everybody know about that. So, again,
awesome. I'll tell you what we really want is for those people to come on and comment and say, here's what we'd like to see.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
That would be good.
We're always looking for new ideas. And that's the thing is we want what you guys, we evolve with the show is what we say.
Right.
So like whatever the audience wants, if they want more entertainment, they want more debates, we're willing to work and try to get what we can. So you just
and
let
if you
us
think
know
you'd where. Be a good guest, email skylarfictionshow@gmail.com.
Yeah.
There you go.
Easiest way to get in contact with us.
Yeah. If you ever get somebody that wants to talk about how bad universal healthcare is, give me a shout and I'll come on and debate them on that.
Exactly. It's funny. James, like from Modern Debate, is always trying to get us to debate politics. And I'm like, he's like, you want to do something political? I'm like, yeah, man. I was like, I'll debate healthcare. He's like, oh, no. He's like, everyone wants to debate universal healthcare. I guess it's hard to find opponents of it
that are reasonable. Yeah, but if you're going to debate universal healthcare, then there has to be someone, it doesn't have to be me, but it has to be someone from a country that has universal healthcare. Because it's too easy to talk about what things might be like versus where someone can say, no, this is what it's actually like. It's like people say, oh, you know, you get everything free. It's like, no, you don't get everything for free. You know, like we still have to pay for dental care. But what some of the things that people get freaked out about is, like I'll talk about, and I've said this to people before. So if you had to call an ambulance in Florida,
mm-hmm.
How much would it cost you for that ride in an ambulance to a hospital?
Oh, thousands of dollars.
Right. So
thousands easily. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's covered in Ontario, but you have to pay a $45 surcharge.
That's nothing.
$45.
You get if you get like a shot at a hospital, they're going to give you like $1,000. Like it's so broken. I think I spent $10,000 on an ambulance ride from a restaurant that was less than a mile away to the hospital.
Yeah. Once you set foot inside a hospital in Canada, you don't pay for anything. Drugs, tests, nothing. If they have to give you medication while you're there, even if it's medication that you're prescribed regularly. So let's say you're diabetic and you walk in, you're like, oh, I didn't bring my insulin with me. No problem. We'll give you insulin. You don't pay for it. Once you set foot in a hospital, you are 100% taken care of.
Can some Canadian family adopt me and bring me up here? Legalized cannabis. We got like
you'd have to abandon your wife. You'd have to abandon your wife and kids because I don't have that much. Yeah, exactly. No,
I want to move to Vegas.
Oh yeah,
Vancouver's the city great. I would live in if I could possibly get it. Yeah. City so beautiful.
You can dip down to Seattle every once in a while if you want to.
Yeah, it's gorgeous, man. Yeah. Vancouver's like New York, but like with nature everywhere around it, like mountains and it's oceans, mountains, and it's so gorgeous.
Have either of you ever been up to? You've been up to Canada? You've been up to Toronto?
Vancouver, I've been, but I haven't been. That's the only place I've been in Canada. Yeah. We went from Seattle for like 3 days in Vancouver, and it was incredible. We had like it's one of those skyscrapers. Like an Airbnb, and it was, It was super, like a 25th floor little balcony, and we just left the windows open because the weather was so gorgeous, and just had weed delivered to my door. It was fantastic. It was absolutely.
Yeah, Toronto's pretty nice too. It has its areas like any other big city, but yeah, the metropolitan, like the greater Toronto area now is about 8 million people, so it's definitely a big city, but it's a nice place. It's a very nice place. But, okay, we are now at an hour and 40 minutes, which isn't quite a record for us, but it's getting up there. So I'm going to make sure to put all of Skylar and Josh's links in the description so you guys can go on there. But you don't have to be a rocket scientist. Remember what Josh said, just digitalhammurabi.com. And anybody can open up a YouTube tab and type in Skylar Fiction. It's not that hard to spell. If you're just listening tonight and you want to get on and get in some of that good content now before I get this posted probably tomorrow because I'm lazy. But yeah, and so I promise Dean will be back next week-ish, depending on how quickly we can get back to do another episode. Did I say what episode this was at the beginning? I don't remember. Mm-hmm. If I didn't, it's 107. So, but yeah, this has been great. Thank you guys so much for coming on. It was a great...
Thank you. Thank you, man.
It was a great time. And hopefully we can keep chatting. I'll keep visiting you when you're doing streams and stuff like that. It's a lot of fun. And but I think it's enough trouble for us to get into for this week. After I push the stop button, we'll say a proper goodbye offline when we're not on the record button. But that's enough trouble for us to get in for this week. But until next time, I have been Michael. And this is where you say I've been Skylar.
I've been Skylar. I've been Skylar.
And I've been Josh.
There you go. He remembers. And we shall see you later. Bye-bye.
Later.
This has been the CA. Thanks for listening. If you like what you heard, please drop by the iTunes store and give us a review and subscribe to get the latest episodes as soon as they release. Just a reminder, the views expressed on this broadcast are solely those of the hosts and are for entertainment purposes only. Never take advice from two guys expressing an opinion on a podcast. That's just silly. See you back here soon.